Part 4. Brian Eno and Ambience, The Inner Experience Goes Out. Brian Eno is considered the originator of ambient music, although it's clear that he had predecessors who could also be so labeled. Regardless, Eno has given ambient music its highest profile, and he has discussed substantially the use of cybernetic compositional methods. While there is much to say about Eno, here we will limit ourselves to his compositional methods. In the making of his earliest ambient albums, Brian Eno explained that he spliced together, quote, two simple and mutually compatible melodic lines of different duration, end quote. He would alter their timbre with an equalizer or make other minor adjustments, but these were not the primary factors in the music's emergence. Instead, it was the systematic unwinding, that is, the recording of their playback of the different tape loops that generated the music. Eno thereby played the roles of planner and programmer and gave chance its role, so that ultimately he became an audience to the results. As in the case of Yes, tape editing was crucial, yet Eno went far beyond what they achieved in making tape editing not just a compositional method, but equally a compositional partner. In this way, Eno was highly innovative in creating music that distanced the human subject from the compositional process traditionally understood as the product of more or less direct control. Further, he expanded our locus of aesthetic concern beyond what is most obviously considered music to incorporate various landscape or environmental elements. Certainly, we have come a long way from Wagner, and yet some common elements remain. Eno typically saw his albums as coherent, integrated statements, thereby carrying forward the notion of the total work of art. One could see some of the extensive liner notes he wrote for a few of his albums as being a further continuance of that principle, in that our understanding of the composing process will further our enjoyment of or involvement with the musical work. However, we see also a great dispersion of the work involved in creating the Gesamtkunstwerk through technological means, to the extent that via cybernetic feedback loops, the creator of the work becomes audience. Furthermore, we see a second form of dispersion, so that the surrounding environs become part of the music as well. The artistic implications of dispersing the generative processes of composing through technological and environmental axes emerged gradually in Eno's work. At first, he considered it high-quality mood music. Next, he gravitated toward more specific applications, as the self-explanatory titles of albums like Ambient One, Music for Airports, and Music for Film indicate. Music for Airports was even played for a time in one of LaGuardia Airport's terminals, and these kinds of uses led to Eno's next move, ambient music for art installations, for which he has done several compositions, such as Thursday Afternoon. Additionally, in a manner not entirely dissimilar to Yes's aspiration to musical worlding, Eno composed several albums that evoke unfamiliar realms, such as Outer Space in Apollo, Atmospheres and Soundtracks, imaginary landscapes such as Ambient 4 on Land, and alternative worlds such as his collaboration with John Hassell in Fourth World, Volume 1, Possible Musics. Lastly, Eno, working with David Byrne of the Talking Heads, produced one of the first albums to rely heavily on sampling, My Life in the Bush of Ghosts, now recognized as an early and influential model for how everyday speech can be remixed for significant aesthetic musical impact. The entwinement of a startling array of media forms speaks to Eno's creativity, even as it disperses it into alternate compositional methods, technology simple and sophisticated, and diverse collaborations with musicians and found sound. Eno's innovations challenge our notions of what it is to compose just as much as they challenge our notions of what it is to listen or consume a musical work. It is as if on the mixing board of life, Eno turned down the active volume knob on the creator and turned up the active volume equally on the listener, and the surrounding environs without ever adjusting the passive volumes for either. Such musical worlding, in other words, is not simply an experience we undergo. In experiencing it, we are transformed in our aesthetic sense of what music is and what it means to participate in music's unfolding. Consider, for example, two themes that have been working throughout this essay, feedback and total art. It is not enough to say that these musical features have histories that can be traced and techniques that can be described. Rather, insofar as they are networked to wider cultural and technological transformation, they emplace us differently as regards the aesthetic work. As John Hassell, in 1983, who frequently collaborated with Eno and utilized many of the same techniques, explains about one of his albums, like the video technique of keying in where any background may be electronically inserted or deleted independently of foreground, the ability to bring the actual sound of musics of various epochs and geographical origins all together in the same compositional frame marks a unique point in history. The ability to combine and remix in this manner is already to evoke a new world. Once we pass a certain limit threshold, the way of defining media across genres and/or technologies common to that previous time become obsolete, untenable. Those definitional boundaries and the practices that emerge with them blur, bleed, rearrange, become different than before. And as we have been arguing in various registers, sound, especially musical sound, is key to understanding how new media transform notions of literate practice, not just as a series of new technologies and techniques, but actively as a Gesamtkunstwerk, worlding us differently than before. To utilize feedback in music, then, is not only a technique emerging from a technology, it is also a new way of engaging the world, a world where feedback is a conceptual resource, a series of practices, a mode of fundamental understanding. End of part 4.